Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Amen. How many of you guys are in situations? Maybe you're reading the Bible. Maybe it's in your prayer time. Maybe you're with somebody and something happens and all you can say is, man, that's my God. That's my God. That's who He is. Isn't that exciting to be there? And aren't you glad that our God never takes a vacation? Our God never says, hey, I need a little bit of time off. I need some personal space. I just need to have some alone time. That's not our God. Our God is always active. Our God is always moving. Our God is always doing. How exciting is that? That's why we can say things like, oh, that is my God. That is my God. Father, thank you so much that you are an active and an engaged God. Lord, that you have a desire to be in our life 100% of the time, speaking to us 100% of the time, guiding us 100% of the time. Lord, there are so many things that you have accomplished within each one of us, and we need to sit back more often and just say, man, that is my God. That is my God. We need to be pointing that out to other people and saying, man, that is my God. My God can do all things. From the massive to the minute. And that is my God. So Jesus, we want to glorify you today. We want to glorify you so much today with our words, with our actions, with our worship. Open up our minds and open up our hearts so that we may be able to exist in that, to walk in that, Lord God, glorifying you. What more were we put on this earth to do but glorify you? But thank you once again, Jesus. Thank you for everything. May you be glorified today. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. You guys were sounding, man, that last song, woo, yeah. Love it. Kind of. We just might have to do that last song at the end. I'm thinking, huh? Yes. Exciting time. How was everybody's Christmas? I think we kind of hit the trifecta this morning. It's the day after Christmas. It's snowing and it's cold out. I mean, it's cold. And I know there's probably a lot of people that for one of those reasons decided to not make it here today. I sure hope they are online or that they will catch this later, because we're not really taking a break from church, are we? Thank you guys for being here. Be safe on the roads today. Be extra safe tomorrow. Tomorrow's supposed to be bitterly cold. But in Montana, that's probably more like, yeah, it's just cold. Wait, what is bitterly cold in Montana? Like 100 below? That'd be bitterly cold. I mean, after it, for me, moving up here, when it hits like zero, it like feels the same. Okay, it's zero. Pretty cold out. It's 10 below. Pretty cold out. 20 below. It's pretty cold out. So, but be safe in all that. Kids! Are we sending kids away? We got a few kids today. You guys go down, have fun. Don't all get up at once. I have got just a couple quick announcements. I don't even have announcement slides, but they are both in your bulletin. Really, the first announcement is John and Carol McDougall would do so much for this church and everything. They're going to be celebrating their 25th anniversary. And they want the church to be a part of that. So on January 9th, which would be, is that next week? No, that's the 2 weeks. Two weeks. Right after service at 12:30, we're going to go downstairs and celebrate with them. Everything's in your bulletin. Take a look at that. They're also going to be renewing their vows, correct? And I will get with you guys more so we can kind of figure that out. We might do it in here. We could do it downstairs. We could do it outside. Probably not. We'll probably do it in here. So that'll be good. So put that on your calendar. Everybody's invited. Even if you're like, well, I don't totally go to this church or I don't really know anybody. What a great way to celebrate with them, but to get to know other people. So please put that on your calendar. And then Charlie came to me. Charlie always comes to me and says, hey, we talk about prayer. We talk about different things. And sometimes they'll come and say, man, I just feel like there's a stirring. And I'm like, me too. And that's where that Friday night prayer service came about. And we'll do 24-hour prayer starting up again in January and things like that. But he said, I got another something stirring in me. And I'm like, okay, Charlie, I just know to listen. Okay, what's going on? And he said, I just think we need to open up our church for prayer. This is not just for our congregation. This is for the community. So Charlie's plugged in with a lot of different pastors around. He's invited them. So what we're doing is we're doing Monday prayer at Bridge. And how that's going to look, and this is all Charlie's wisdom, so I'm not taking any credit for this. It's actually starting tomorrow. No, starting January 3rd. See, I am a whole week off. Tomorrow is not January 3rd. That is next week. It is a week from tomorrow. From 1 to 3 p.m., the sanctuary will be open, and there'll be more of a prayer emphasis for our government, right? Everything from our federal government down to our local government. And there'll be an order, like a list out. If you're like, well, I don't know who to pray for, you come in and you'll probably do a slide, we'll get a sheet of paper, it'll show what to do. So 1 to 3 is prayer for our government. And then back again, 7 to 9 p.m. will be prayer for unity in our community and our churches, revival within our community, and a powerful move of God. So it's going to be open from 1 to 3, and then we'll kind of shut down, and then we'll be open from 7 to 9 again. And if you guys can, stop by, make it a point. Monday's a weird day because it's the beginning of the week and everything. But what a great way to start your week off. I'll announce this again next week, and we'll see what happens. That's just it with prayer. It's like, we'll just see what happens. There's not like a dog and pony show when it comes to a prayer service, right? It's not like, oh, we can come and get entertained or anything like that. There's a discipline when it comes to prayer, saying, you know, it's 7 p.m. on a Monday night. I am going for prayer because there needs to be unity. There needs to be revival. And we desperately want to see a powerful move of God. So put that in your brain. Put it on your calendar. Write it on the bottom of your shoe. Do whatever you need to do. But be reminded of that. And we will continue to announce that and push that. If you have friends that go to other churches, invite them. If you know other pastors in this community, invite them into this time. Amen? That's the announcements. How great is that? Three ways to give, like always: giving online, giving boxes, and mail. Giving boxes are in the back. You can mail 725 Granite, Bridge Helena online, bridgehelena.com. I got a question, though, because I've been asked by two people. Anybody who usually give online, are you having problems? Besides Tamara. You guys are too. Some people are and some people are. Something must be going on. I would say try clearing out your browser and all your history, because sometimes that'll screw things up. But I'll try to get a hold of Simple Give, or Mel will try to get a hold of Simple Give, or somebody will try to get a hold of Simple Give and see if something's going on and we need an update or anything like that. We apologize. We'll get that fixed, because it is a nice feature to have. All right. Without any further ado, I'm excited about this next part, because I don't want to jump right into my message, because I got this amazing phone call the other day. I think it was Thursday, maybe, and just totally made my day. And I said, you got to share that with the church. So Glenn, if you want to come up here He's going to share a little testimony of something going on in his life that's pretty phenomenal and amazing. Come all the way up. You're not standing down there. You're coming up on stage. You're going to use a microphone. You don't have to sing, but you can. You rap, whatever.
So, I don't know if you can hear me. Most of you know that in August...
There we go.
I hate these things. But in August, I had a heart attack. And Bonnie took me to the ER. And while I was in the ER, I had a massive heart attack. And they put me in, put four stents in one of my arteries. They would have life-flighted me to Missoula, but they didn't think I would make it. I was in hospital for a few days, and 2 weeks later, I had to see a cardiologist. So I went in and talked with him. His opinion was that I was going to need open-heart surgery. They couldn't determine that until they waited 3 months and had a nuclear stress test, which is a chemically induced stress test to get your heart racing. And then they put an isotope in, they follow it around, and that's the gold standard for, you know, determining what you're going to do. So we waited the 3 months, and on the 13th of this month, I went in and had the stress test. On the 21st, I had to go back to the doctor. And he had told me in the first meeting, he said, you know, I don't think they'll be able to put stents in. They had so much trouble with the four that they did put in. They couldn't get them all the way to the bottom. I don't believe that's an option. I said, well, what about the meds that you're putting me on? He said, no, they will not help. They don't, you know, they're blood thinners, and they're going to keep you from throwing clots, but they're not going to fix this problem. So fixing it will either be put stents in, because I have two other arteries, one that's 80% blocked and one that's 75% blocked. So we went in, Bonnie and I went in on Tuesday, I believe it was, the 21st, and to sit down with the doc and find out when I was going to surgery. And he started his talk with, you know, I've looked at your stress test, and I don't think they're going to be able to put stents in. They just had too much trouble the first time. I said, well, we talked about that, so when's surgery? And he said, well, you actually don't need surgery. And I said, but you told me it was either stents or surgery. And he said, well, your heart's actually repairing itself. Its vessels are rerouting blood to the area. And I said, well, that's great, praise God, but now what do we do about the other ones? Am I just going to wait until I have another heart attack and then we do something or what? And he said, well, and he got a little confused. And he said, you know, well, the artery that's 80% blocked is now 65% blocked. And he said, the artery that's 75% blocked isn't causing you any problems at all. So your heart is working just fine. And as far as we're concerned at this point, there will be no surgery. So I thank everybody for your prayers. I know people were praying. But thank you.
Thank you. Amen, right? Doesn't that make you just be like, oh, that's my God. That is my God. That's why when we were singing this song, I'm like, oh, what a perfect song for today. That is my God. That is who you are. Man, God, God does these things. We don't understand why sometimes he does, and then sometimes we don't see it like this, but we know that God is always working. And really, when you called me, and what you said to me is the doctor said, well, you're not really a candidate for surgery. That's one of those things where they have criteria where it's like, oh, you're a candidate for this, we can do it. But now you just flunked that and messed all that up. You're not even a candidate for that anymore. And it's like, God, you're amazing. You just did a physical healing upon Glenn's heart. And it's so amazing because God also can do an emotional healing on somebody's heart, right? And he can do spiritual healings on people's heart. Man, God is in the business of healing. And I also told Glenn, I said, well, the thing about this is that there's like clinical data that shows, man, you are a mess. You are like, can't life flight you because you probably won't make it kind of mess too. You're not even a candidate anymore. And Glenn just kept saying, well, yeah, he was confused. Doctor was confused. Well, of course he's confused because sometimes they're not open to this realm of possibility that God can heal. What an amazing thing. What an amazing testimony. What a great thing. God is healing people. God is going to continue to heal people. I long to see that more in this church, in this body, and that's part of where the Monday prayer comes in, right? We gather together, it's a 24-hour prayer. It starts with prayer, and God begins to move when his people humble themselves and desire him and chase after him. It's such an amazing thing. We love to hear these testimonies. If you guys are going through things and God is moving in your life, don't keep it to yourself. No way. Tell me. We need to hear it, right? I so wish the church was full this morning to hear that, but hopefully they'll catch that online. And I know I'll get comments back, and I know, Glenn, you're going to get comments. But, you know, this church has been praying for you guys, prayer works. It works, and it's great. There's this whole story was amazing from some of our personal conversations that we had and concerns you had to now you're no candidate. You're not a candidate. Sorry, Glenn, you're not in the club anymore. You've been booted out of there, and we're rejoicing in that. Amen, amen. So awesome. Well, I just want to ask you guys that braved this morning, and how was your Christmas? It was pretty good. You know, you get all sorts. Ours was pretty awesome because we didn't do anything. Like, we didn't do anything. It's like I went to take a shower last night and give myself a haircut and everything, and I'm getting ready to get in the shower. I'm like, oh, wait a second, I'm going to put my sleeping clothes right back on. Because I never got out of them. That's the kind of Christmas we had, right? And that it was wonderful. Some people spent time with massive amounts of family. Some people went visiting. Some people came visiting. All these great things. But when I get to this point, I just ask the question, can you believe it's already over? Christmas 2021, it's already over. Now, technically, we are still in the holiday season, which kind of runs through New Year's Day, right? But that's more relaxing. That's not hard to get ready for. So let's pray, and we're going to talk about, throw that slide up. 'Twas the day after Christmas. How many of you guys looked in the mirror this morning and can relate to that picture? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a great day. What a great testimony, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that everything that you do for us, it's like, and you heal us. You physically can touch our body. Emotionally, you can change us. Spiritually, you absolutely transform us. And Lord, we thank you so much that you are an active guy, that you never take a break. That you're always pursuing us. We're so humbled in that. But we're so grateful in that. Holy Spirit, guide me today. Allow me to speak the words that you have for me to speak. And Lord God, shut my mouth with anything else. But let today be a day of rejoicing in Glenn's testimony, but also a day where we desire to get a little bit closer to you, to be a little bit more like you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. See, when it comes to Christmas, when it comes to this time of the year, the holiday season, absolutely Christmas is the big dog, right? It's the big day. New Year's, this just kind of happens to come after it. And Thanksgiving, it's a month before. But Christmas is actually the big focus. And now that it has passed, I think it's appropriate to ask the question, now what? Now what? So the day's title of the message is, 'Twas the Day After Christmas. Because if we don't guard ourselves, a holiday hangover can creep in and really try to marginalize our faith, right? It can marginalize all sorts of things. Oh, we prepared and now we got through it. And now we can kind of get back to our normal life, right? But we can also do that with our faith. You know, especially like right now with where Christmas sets. Man, you were just here for a Christmas Eve service, right? Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day. It's got to be full of Jesus. And then we're right back out at this sanctuary on a Sunday morning. So we don't want to treat our faith in a manner where just because Christmas is over, we kind of relax, right? See, it's the same trend, I think, that I see with young people today when it comes to couples, and they get together and the guy proposes and they say, hey, we're going to get married. And I think you guys know what I mean. It's when the couple focuses on the wedding so much and they barely focus on the marriage. Yeah, I see that over and over and over. Everybody wants to talk about the wedding. What's the wedding going to look like? How much is the wedding going to cost? What venue are we having for the wedding? Who's coming to the wedding? What kind of dress? What will the guys wear? Wedding, 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 wedding. There's not a lot of plan for the eventual marriage. One day instead of a lifetime. And with Christmas, sometimes we can treat it the same way. One day instead of the rest of the year. Because there is a lot of planning that goes into Christmas. There's a lot of preparation. Lord knows there's the decorating. Come on, somebody should have laughed in here with that one. There's the shopping. How many of you guys are like, I'm done with shopping? If I don't have to go shopping, and you know what I hate? Because I'm horrible at it. It's the wrapping. It's like, oh my gosh. It's never, I like things a certain way, and I can't do it with wrapping paper. As hard as I try, it never looks right. Amy's package, it was great. It had multiple kinds of wrapping paper on it because I cut them too short and things like that. Thank goodness. Thank goodness Zana helped me. She did pretty good with that. And then, of course, there's the cooking, right? It's like, oh my goodness. All this preparation, cooking, and then the meal's over in like 20 minutes tops. It's like we just spent days cooking and it's already gone. We do all these things, and it's all for that one day. Now, again, there's nothing inherently wrong with these things, are they? Is there? But as long as we keep the bigger picture, we got to keep the big picture, and that is always Christ Jesus. Because, you see, December 25th, the day, December 25th should never be the apex. It should never be the apex, because Christ is to be celebrated every day, 365 days a year. Look at Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Not just one day, but every day. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I like the sounds of that. Perfect peace comes from those who keep their mind on Christ and place their trust in him. When? How often? Daily. Daily we do this. See, perfect peace does not mean everything's going to be easy. Everything's going to be great. I'm going to be happy all the time. The perfect peace used here is the word shalom. We've heard that word, right? The Jewish culture very much uses the word shalom. It means welfare. It means rest. It means safety. And it means health. And here is why making your faith a daily priority is so vitally important, because our faith is our number one weapon we have in fighting against the rut of normality. Did you know that as a believer, you are inherently in a fight against normality every day? It's a battle that has no ceasefires. There's no diplomacy there. There's no truce. Nobody is going to call an armistice here. And if we do not choose to stand and fight every single day, we choose to surrender or to give up a bit more ground. You can't go through life continuing to give up a little bit of ground every day, because that turns into a massive loss of territory. See, it's choosing daily to walk against the current or to walk against the ordinary. I love fly fishing. You guys know that. I love it. I love going out there. I love being in the river. It's not hard walking up against the current. It takes effort to go against the flow. You got to determine your steps. You got to plan out. You got to push against that water. It's not easy. Likewise with our faith, it's not always easy. We got to push forward. We got to determine our steps. We got to plan things out. We've got to put effort into it so as we don't fall into the ordinary. So I mean, really, why? Why do we got to even talk about this stuff? Why do we actually have to fight? Well, it's pretty simple, pretty basic. When we fail to battle, normality begins to set in. Go ahead and flip that slide. We got normality over here, don't we? You know what that is? The definition of that? It's conforming to a type, a standard, or a regular pattern characterized by that which is considered usual, typical, or routine. But Christ changes us to something that is quite the opposite of those things, doesn't he? For the Christian, normality is sneaky. It comes in subtly, just a little bit at first. We start having these thoughts like, oh, I'll just skip this, or maybe I'll just dabble in that. Just a little bit. It's nothing major, because really it's not that big a deal. It's only prayer. I'll skip prayer today. Might skip it tomorrow, but I'll catch it the next day. I'll do double or triple or whatever's necessary there. We convince ourselves that it's not that big a deal. It's only my Bible time. It's not like the Bible's going anywhere. I can always go back and catch it. Even if I'm doing a daily reading so I can read the Bible in a year, if I skip a day, it's not the end of the world. And after all, it's only church. It's only church. Not that big a deal. It's only hanging out with this crowd. It's only hanging out with this person. It's only a few drinks. It's not like I'm an alcoholic or anything. It's only a few drinks here and there. But what starts as just a little, it gains a foothold. And it'll rapidly grow. And then normality develops into complacency. Go ahead and flip that slide. We have normality developing into complacency. Listen to this definition of complacency. Complacency is self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. See, when we lack in action or attention to our faith, that causes normality to grow and eventually evolve into complacency. Our awareness of where our faith is or our spiritual wellness, the gauge that we should be using, it's in big trouble. We stop even caring about that. We stop looking at that. We have fooled ourselves into becoming self-satisfied to the point of losing awareness of the actual dangers or deficiencies that we are living with. Most of us could say, man, I have some dangers in my life. I have some deficiencies in my life. When you allow yourself to go from normalcy to complacency, you become unaware of even those things. And let me add this, that to a born-again believer in Christ, we get here when we stifle or suffocate this Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is constantly speaking to us, right? The Holy Spirit is constantly convicting us, saying, no, that's not a good thing for you. I'm concerned with your health. I'm going to make you aware of this. There are times in our life, and we have the ability to stifle that and to try to silence that, to suffocate the Holy Spirit in our life. When complacency creeps into your life, that is where you are. But if not corrected, it doesn't stop there. Because we don't ever stay complacent. We can't just say, oh, I'm complacent, I'm good to be here. Complacence means you're unaware of the dangers. You're unwilling to fight. So, of course, you aren't going to stay complacent. Flip that slide. There you go. Unaddressed complacency will always lead to apathy. Apathy is a lack of feeling or emotion. It's a lack of interest or concern. Apathy is indifference. See, if complacency causes us to turn a blind eye to something, then apathy is the point where we could care less. We actually are blinded to everything. It's not just a blind eye, it's complete blindness. Not only about Christ, not only about our faith, but when we get to the point of apathy, we really don't care about anything in our life. Because there's really nothing that can give us satisfaction when we're apathetic. Though we may try new things, I just need to get a new job. That'll solve everything. I just need a new relationship. That'll change things. If I only had this new toy, I know I'd be more passionate and more happy. Maybe it's a new church. Oh, if I could only find a different church, things would change. Maybe it's even a different religion. Oh, if I could only find Buddhism or Hinduism or something, maybe that could get me out of this apathetic valley. It could be whatever. The satisfaction is found nowhere because apathy won't allow it. Apathy will not allow you to be satisfied with anything. And then there's only one step left. There's only one step to go from apathy. Flip that side. It's death. Sorry, it's death. How can it not be? Definitely to spiritual death. But I would also say to emotional death. And I would also even argue to physical death. See, death is the ultimate goal of the enemy. The ultimate goal of the enemy. And the enemy is after every single person alive today, whether they know it or not. Look at John 10:10. The thief. The thief is who? We know who the thief is. The thief is Satan. The thief is the enemy. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, Jesus here, he's drawing a very big distinction between himself, the giver of life, the giver of life in abundance, and the thief, the enemy who desires to only steal, kill, and destroy. Now, when I read this, just this one verse, it sure sounds to me like there's this war, and it's raging, and it's not giving up, and there is no truce. There is no happy time where there's a ceasefire. It's a raging war, and that raging war is within each of us. It goes on within each of us. But Jesus has life for us, doesn't he? I hope you guys have experienced the life that Jesus has for us. But here's the caveat right there. We must choose to accept that life. We must choose to receive that life. We must choose to foster that life, and we must choose to live in that life. You see, it's a daily choice. Every day we must choose Christ. It's not the one time I prayed the prayer once, I talked to Jesus once, I should be good. No, that's not the relationship that he extends to us. Daily we choose to pursue Christ. And I'll tell you this, it is what is not normal to the world. Because the world wants normality. The world desires to go with the current, to go with the flow. Look at Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Keeping what needs to be first takes effort and energy on our part. It takes planning. It takes persistence, because it doesn't just happen. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It sounds like we have to put effort into here. It sounds like there are certain things that we need to be doing. See, to be conformed is to be similar. It's to be the same to something. It's to be usual. To be similar to something is to be normal to that something. Flip it back to slide 6 real quick. It's the one that has all the words on it. The four words right there. Look at that. That's usual. That's the normal flow of the world. I hate to say it, but that's the normal flow of the world. But on the other hand, to be transformed is to be changed from normal. It means to be changed from normal in this context to something very incredible. And it starts with the renewal of our mind, the discipline of working out our faith, and battling the normality, the complacency, the apathy, and the death that the enemy is throwing at each one of us. Starts with each one of us making a choice to fight. And when we make this choice to fight for our own faith on a daily basis, God does something remarkable. He grants us the desire to fight for others, right? When we're in a normal, good, healthy relationship with God, it's never just about us, is it? It's about God and it's about others. And we need to strive to get there. Monday prayer, 1-3, 7-9. It's about coming here. It's praying for ourselves, right? It's praying for our government. It's praying for our community. It's praying for all of those things. And a move of God, revival, so that more people can come to Christ. See, when we daily pursue God, he begins to work in us and change us. And he grants us a desire to fight for others. Desire to fight for our children, our grandchildren, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, and our community. And God placed this on my heart when I was preparing this message. I'll tell you one group that we need to be praying for and that we need to be fighting for. We need to pray and lift up dads with kids still living in the home, because I fear that they have lost the will, the ability, or the desire to fight. See, ultimately, it's a choice. And far too many young men and young dads are choosing normality that will only lead to death. And basically, it's efficiency, really. The enemy knows if he gets the young dads, that he will most likely get the next generation. That's hard truth right there. But you see, normality dictates that I or any pastor preaches the feel good, everything is fine, you're doing great kind of messages. That's what normality dictates toward me. That's not why God put me in this pulpit. Because I, like each one of you, has to choose to fight on a daily basis. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot easier things that I could be doing. Now, of course, for all of us, one option is we could just give up. We could stop walking against the current. We could stop moving against the flow. We could stop with all this energy that it takes to pursue God, to pick up our cross on a daily basis, to repent every day, to seek Him, to get into the Word, to pray. That's so much effort. You know, we could just give up. I mean, come on. Because that is always an option. Here's the thing. That's the option that we default to if we don't choose to fight. You can sit there and say, Pastor, I'm not giving up. I'm just taking a little bit of a break. But in essence, what you're doing is instead of pushing against that flow, you're relaxing. You're getting in your inner tube. And that's not going to take you up the river against the current. That's just going to lead you down and down and down. Please. I know we all go through different seasons. Fight against that urge to fall into normality. And we can throw all sorts of great sounding excuses about the health of our faith, can't we? We can come up with all sorts of great sounding things to justify why our faith is deteriorating instead of growing. Because after all, I have a lot going on right now. I just have a lot going on in my life. I'm really busy. I just changed jobs. I just moved. I just had a baby, I just got rid of kids, I just this, I just that, because I have a lot going on and I'm really busy. I have to pull back just a little bit. How about this one? This one's great. Every pastor will agree. When somebody says, you know, I just don't get a lot out of church. I, for whatever reason, maybe I'm up here, maybe I'm too much of a sinner. I just don't get a lot out of church. I would ask, how much do you put in to church? How about this one? What a great day for this one. I can just catch it online. I don't really need to go. I mean, I can catch it online. Maybe not live. I can catch it online later. If I have time. Oh, and if I remember, not that big a deal. I don't have time to read the Bible. There's a lot of big words in the Bible. You know how thick this Bible is? There's a lot of stuff in this. There's a lot of chapters in this Bible. It takes a long time to read the Bible. What am I even supposed to do? How much am I supposed to? I just don't have time to read. You don't have time to read a verse or two out of the Bible, seriously? Really? Especially with your phones, that you've got the Bible right there? You don't have time to actually read your Bible? But it sounds like a good excuse, doesn't it?
How about this one? This is another good one. I'm not very good at praying. I don't pray that much because I'm just not very, very good at it. Well, name something in your life that you are just automatically good at without putting any effort into. How do you get better at praying? Oh, no, pray. Gosh, I don't know. You could read a book on it. Take all that time to read a book about praying. Or you could actually spend that time praying and see what happens. You know, you'll listen to some people and it's like, holy smokes, that person can pray. Where did that come? It's like a babbling brook. It's beautiful how they pray. Pretty sure that's not the first time they prayed. I'm pretty sure they have a prayer life. I'm pretty sure they put effort into it. I'm pretty sure that they have developed their prayer, right? I'm not very good at praying means, to me, as a pastor, you need to pray more. So you're telling me that I need to help you and hold you accountable to pray more, maybe an hour a day? We'll start there, right? So if you come to me and say, Pastor, I'm just not very good at praying. We're going to have so much fun. I'm going to get your schedule. We're going to lay it out. It's going to be awesome. And pretty soon, you're going to be one of those, when you pray, people are going to be like, oh my goodness. It's not us, though, is it? It's developing that conduit between us and the Holy Spirit. It's being able to hear. It's being able to flow in that. And then our prayers reflect that. It's a great thing. Here's another great excuse. Love this one. I'm not growing at that church or that small group. You know what that actually means? That actually means the church isn't meeting my needs. Yeah, isn't that great? I'm not growing at that church. Translation, not meeting my needs. Not getting a lot out of that small group. Translation, they're not talking about what I want to talk about. See, we hear this all the time. But what it is actually it's a slip into normality. Maybe complacency. Probably not apathy, because apathy, you just don't care. Guard against these things. I save the best till last. How many of you guys save like the biggest present till last? It's like, or if you're giving your spouse a present or your kids, you never give them the best present first, right? You always save it till the last. It builds it up and builds it up. I did that here. Here's the greatest excuse. This is the best one. I'm offended. I'm offended. Gotta love that one. Why are you offended? Who knows? Man, it could be anything. Offense is something that we carry. Offense isn't necessarily anything grounded in reality. It's grounded in your perception of what you're trying to put upon reality. I'm offended. So I'm going to take a step back from my faith. Well, no, I'm not saying that because I'd never be offended at God. Well, then why are you taking a step back from your faith? Some of you probably are sitting here today saying, boy, some of the stuff he says is kind of offensive. Don't let that cause you to take a step back from God. See, all of these can be little steps that lead you from a life of faith, even a healthy life of faith, to a life of normality, which leads to complacency, leads to apathy, which always leads to death. Proverbs 16:9 is a great, great verse. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Why couldn't it say, commit your leisure to the Lord? Commit your indifference to the Lord. Commit your normalcy to the Lord. Commit your complacency to the Lord. Slogan of the American church today, commit your apathy to the Lord and desire for your plans to be established. Doesn't work that way. It says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Plans for what? What's God's plan in our life? Is it to hurt us? Is it to make us unhealthy? Is it to grind us into the ground? Is it to cause us to be self-loathing? Is it cause us to be unforgiving or hateful or anything like that? No. He has plans that he's laid out for each one of us. It starts with love. And that flows into health and understanding, compassion, and those things. But in order to have those plans established, we must commit ourselves to the work of the Lord. That seems like so much work, doesn't it? But we have to commit ourselves. That means we have a plan. That means we're steadfast. That means we're stubborn. And I used stubborn from the pulpit at one time, and it offended people because I called people stubborn. And I'm saying being stubborn can be a very healthy and good thing. Be stubborn in your work to the Lord. Steadfast. Don't let anything distract that. You don't have to worry about the plans of your life if you commit yourself to the work of the Lord, because it is Him that will establish those plans. What an amazing thing. What a great God that we serve. How easy this stuff is to understand, yet how hard is it to apply in our lives, especially when we have to fight against normality on a daily basis. Here's what I need you to understand. In terms of death and how we are using the term and the context in which we are using it today, death does not mean nothing or nothingness. Death means you become insensitive or unresponsive to the attributes of God. We know that the world, those without Christ, are dead, right? They are dead to themselves because they are insensitive or unresponsive to the attributes of God. That is what we're fighting against. The enemy wants to pull us back to where we once were. He hates it when we passionately pursue God in a Christian lifestyle. So he wants to pull us back to where the rest of the world is. But as believers in Christ, born again believers, we are doing quite the opposite with effort. We're trying to pull as many people as we can from the death to the life. Because we don't want people to be insensitive or unresponsive to the attributes of God, including our brothers and sisters in Christ. See, when we get to that point, God's love toward you does not change. But your ability to accept, experience, and reciprocate that love has died. And again, that is a choice on your part. And as a result, you become ineffective to the calling, the specific and special calling God has placed upon your life. How many of you guys believe that God places a specific calling upon each person's life? Raise your hands if you believe that. Now, raise your hands if you believe that God has placed a specific that kind of calling upon your individual life. Raise your hand. See, in a general sense, we can all agree, oh yes, God saves everybody. He desires to interact with everybody. And God places a specific calling on everybody's life. Okay, but what about you? Well, no, I'm a little different. I'm a worse sinner. God can't totally forgive all of my sins. And yes, those other people, they have a specific... Jen's got an amazing calling upon her life. It's not her voice. It's her ability to listen to the Holy Spirit and lead us in worship. That's a beautiful and specific calling. Everybody in here has a beautiful kind of calling. I can't say it twice in a row. But we can get to the point where we recognize everybody else's specific and special calling. But when it comes to us, not so much. You know why? Because you are allowing normalcy to creep into your life. December 25th was yesterday. It will be 364 days until we see December 25th again. That is, if Jesus doesn't come back and take us all home. 364 days. You guys have 364 days to prepare for Christmas. But I would say choose... What was that? That's efficiency right there. See? Yeah, trust in God, man. He will work things out. You don't get anything out of church today. Don't take your tree down. It's more efficient that way. 364. I love it when their church is smaller because you guys interact more. Totally derail me. It's so good. The more people, the quieter you are. Crazy thing. 364 days until we see Christmas again, I would say choose to make Christ the King of your life every single day. Choose. Make that choice to fight against normality, complacency, and apathy every single day. Choose to stand strong in your faith. Put on the full armor of God. Why in the world in the Bible does it talk about the full armor of God? Because it's a battle. It's a fight that you have to choose. And you gotta choose to stand strong. Not just to stand strong and weather the storm. No, you go out and you storm the gates of hell. That's what Scripture is all about. We don't just get through the day. Oh, if I can just get through the days and make it to heaven, I'll be okay. No, we enter into heaven swinging, fighting, finishing hard. That was the beauty of Sandy Carroll and her example of how we leave this world. Proclaiming who Christ is to anyone who will listen, even though you can't hardly talk because you got so much oxygen being rammed into your lungs. She chose to fight. She chose to stay strong. Great example. Yeah, but I'm too busy praying. I'm not good at it. Church, just hard to get there sometimes. Grab hold, stand strong, get in your Bible, get in the Word, pray. Pray even when you don't want to. You know, when we pray when we don't want to, sometimes those are the most powerful and effective prayers. You say you don't pray very well, get in situations where you're ground zero, gears are stripped, everything's going bad, and you start praying. And I'll tell you what, your prayer life will be built. Right there. Your faith will become stronger right there. Don't be afraid to walk through the hard things in life because it's the hard things that make us stronger. Be afraid that you're going to get complacent and apathetic. That's what should scare us, that we may ever fall into that. But we don't have to because we're going to stand strong. Standing strong in our faith. You know, faith by definition is believing in something that we cannot see or cannot be proven, yet that very faith is more real to us than anything else in this world. So choose today to surrender, to repent, to humble yourself before the Lord. In the beautiful, powerful, and affirming words of Christ Himself, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Sometimes we need to end at that period because all too often we take it the next part, which is amazing, and this also, love your neighbor as you love yourself, and we focus so much on that. I got to go love my neighbor. Sometimes we got to back it up. Keep it to this sentence. You we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart. All our heart. Not a compartment of it. Not 85%. Not even 99%. But all our heart. And with all our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, right? Our heart and our soul. Our mind, our will, our emotions. All our mind. Love the Lord. Number one. Above all things, we love the Lord. That is the greatest of all commandments. And everything we do, everything else we do, everything we aspire to do, everything that we have, and everything that will ever be flows from here. It flows from our choice to love the Lord our God with our heart, our soul, in our mind. Worship team, if you guys want to come up here. I'll ask you this as I'm closing. In your life, in your schedule, in your job, in your season that you're in right now, is this worth fighting for? Doesn't just come by default. I wish it did. It'd be so easy if God just said, boom, you're one of my followers. You don't have a choice. And this is how your life is going to look. It doesn't work that way. We have to fight for it. Are you in a place right now where you're willing to fight? Or are you just so hungover from Christmas that you barely know what's going on and you're kind of somewhat glad that it's 364 days before we have to do this again? Don't take a vacation. What's the song say? God doesn't. God doesn't. He doesn't take a break. He is always fighting for us. He is always available to us. So is your faith worth fighting for? Only you have the ability to make that choice. I can't do it. Person you're sitting by can't do it. Only you can make that decision. And remember, when we make that decision to fight on a daily basis, we're doing the things we know we should be doing, getting into the Word, however that may look, developing our prayer life, however that may look, making a choice, a commitment to be in church every Sunday. It's biblical. We can argue, but I'll win because it's biblical. When we begin to make that choice, remember, God does something in us. And He causes a desire in us to fight for those that are around us. And sometimes fighting for those around us, as frustrating as they may be, it means doing all sorts of things. It means trying to pull them from the death. Remember, death is unable to experience the attributes of God. Pulling them from there into life. And man, sometimes it feels like we're physically having to tie them up and pull them. But man, if that's what causes people to get into heaven, I'll go by the rope. I'll learn the right knots. I'll start tying people up and trying to pull them into heaven. I wish it were that easy. But see, we have to be prepared and healthy within our own faith to be affecting those that are around us. Amen? We're going to sing. Man, we're going to sing that song again. Man, we're going to sing that song loud. I'll make a prediction. When we sing this last song, it's going to be louder in this sanctuary than if everybody was here. See, it's the same principle. You guys interact with me more when there's less people. For some reason, it seems like you guys worship louder when there's less people. So today, we're going to make it loud. We're going to close with this song. I'm going to pray. We're going to close. Man, we're going to rejoice. We're going to go up and give Glenn a handshake, because I don't know if he's a hugger. Give him a high five. Give Bonnie a hug. We know she's a hugger. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to say, man, where are you with your faith? How can I pray for you? What's going on? We're going to do all of those things because we're going to be excited after church today. We're going to be excited because it's December 26th. And you know what December 26th is, don't you? It's the day we choose to worship the Lord. And coincidentally, December 27th is the same thing. It's like Groundhog Day. Every single day is Christmas. Every single day is Easter. Because we choose it to be. Father, Lord, what an amazing plan you have for us. Every time I get into your word, every time you allow me to share your word from this spot in this sanctuary, Lord, I get so excited because I go through this stuff. I convene with the Holy Spirit. We have our conversation. And oh my goodness, your plan is amazing. It is downright amazing. It's so simple. You made a way where there was no way. You died for me. You extend grace and mercy to me. You extend those things and you give me the option to grab hold of those things. If I want to experience and understand your attributes, you don't do anything to hinder that. You invite me in for all of those things. But on my part, I have to make that choice to take that step, to push forward, to grab hold. Lord, give me the strength to fight for my faith every day, because without your strength, I can't do it. But Lord, by your abundant mercy, by your abundant love, you give me that strength. Help me to choose, even on the hard days, even on the busy days. Help me to choose you. Help me to fight for my faith. Help me to guard myself in more normality, complacency, apathy. Lord, help me to look at the enemy and say, man, you got nothing here. Because what I got in me is much greater than anything that you can throw at me. Help me to wear the full armor of God every single day. Help me to not only fight for my own faith, to fight for those that are around me. Jesus, what an amazing plan. We thank you for mornings like this, where we can come together and just convene with you, to worship you, to hear your truth, to get excited about fighting for our faith and guarding ourselves from all those nasty, yucky words that we were talking about before. Jesus, it's all about you, and we lift you high. Pray all this in the powerful and mighty name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Let's worship.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.